We are pleased to be joined by our great friend, Dr. Jack Russell Weinstein. He's the Chester Fritz Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at the University of North Dakota and host of the public radio show, Why? Philosophical Discussions About Everyday Life, where he explores how philosophical ideas intersect with daily life and current events, and my guest once a month in this segment we call Philosophical Currents. Jack, always great to see you.
Always a pleasure to be here. Love talking on Prairie Public. Love being a part of Main Street.
It's later in the summer. The opening of the University of North Dakota, of North Dakota State University, and all of the states and the country's colleges and universities is coming down the pike, Jack. What is the value? What is the role? What is the purpose of college today? That's our topic. Let's start right there. Should the goal of higher education be primarily personal enrichment? Is it career preparation? Is it something else? Why do we have colleges today, Jack?
The answer is yes. The answer is all of those things. And when you have this conversation, you have to remember that nothing is just one thing. And that an institution the size of, say, the University of North Dakota is many different things to many different people. And it often has a benefit that people are either too young to predict or don't have enough experience to know or just get surprised by because life is uncertain. But the first understanding, the core of what a university is in general is, I like to say it this way, to create and disseminate knowledge. And what that means is a university is a research institution first and foremost that develops a sense of what's true, what's knowable, and then shares it with as many people as possible. Because knowledge is not intellectual property. Knowledge is not something that you keep from others. The more I know, the more I have an obligation as a teacher to share it with my students, my colleagues, the audience of Prairie Public. So the first mission of any university is to create and disseminate knowledge, and then everything else is supplemental because it's a complex institution that has a lot of other functions.
Colleges and universities, their funding has been in the news. Funding has been withheld from certain universities, from the federal government. It seems like there's pressure for the role of colleges and universities to change. Take us in the Wayback Machine, Jack. How have universities and colleges changed over time?
Well, this is super interesting because the history of colleges and universities are complex because of how societies and cultures change. The earliest universities prided themselves on being alternatives to a religious education. People would go become priests or be part of the church, and folks who wanted more secular exploration were attracted to these other institutions. And interestingly enough, that's why we have regalia when you graduate. That's why you wear the robe and the hat, because it's supposed to be an alternative to the vestments. They're supposed to be the same kind of pomp and circumstance that you would get, say, at the Vatican or something like that. And as secular knowledge increased and as the mission of learning law separate from theology or understanding medication, what it means to be a doctor separate from prayer and other such things and cultural medicines, the universities increased. And what we called knowledge and how we categorized it also grew more complex. Through the 18th century, there were basically three subjects. There was moral philosophy, which covered what we call political science, psychology, law, ethics, all the social sciences, all the humanities. And then there was natural philosophy, which is what we would eventually call the hard sciences. And then there was logic, which was the study of reasoning. This eventually split up into a couple other small areas. And then the first major appears in Harvard University at around the turn of the 20th century, a little earlier than that. this starts to professionalize universities. And for the first time, universities start being vocational beyond being a doctor, beyond what they would say reading for law. And you start getting programs in engineering, and you start getting programs in what becomes economics, and you start getting programs in other things. And universities become much larger, much more powerful, and the disciplines and the fields of study become much more specialized, which is the natural consequence of progress, although that's a other conversation.
Jack, and university's main role then is disseminating knowledge, but certainly also shaping civic responsibility and moral character, as you alluded to a while ago. Is it still the same today as it was just a decade ago relative to those important roles of colleges and universities? Or are we in a fast-changing world relative to college and university?
We are at a transition point for a couple different reasons. Certainly in a democracy, part of the role of higher education is to educate citizens, to help them think critically, to help them understand how the world works. That's also supposed to happen in elementary, primary, and secondary education. It doesn't happen in the same way in the United States than it does in European countries. So, and I'll explain why I'm saying this in just a second. So the way the American system is structured, our early education isn't nearly as sophisticated as European education. And so our students don't come to university with the same humanities background and the same general knowledge background that Western European universities have. And so traditionally, the first 2 years of the university were structured to make up for this general education, right? And so you get students who have to take English 101, philosophy 101, sociology 101. The goal of that is to give students a general education and to make them have requirements. And historically, and certainly up through my college experience, you would do that. And then the second semester, sophomore year, you would pick a major because you had done all of your generals, your essential studies, and then you went on to do the more specific technical courses in your major. During the Obama administration, the Secretary of Education made a rule, and that was you could not get federal loans if you didn't declare a major. And this seemingly technical thing, which was designed to actually make education go faster and cheaper, changed everything. Because what it said was, you aren't supposed to come into college with a sense of exploration. You're supposed to come into college with a very narrow sense of what you want to do and focus only on that. And that then did two things. First, it made students go into higher level classes without the general skills that they developed the first 2 years. And so they did worse in their classes. And second, it meant that they often learned 2.5 years in that they didn't want to do what they thought they did at 17 years old when they declared their major. They burnt out, they'd start over, and now all of a sudden students are going to college for 5 or 6 years instead of 4. So that changed everything and changed the progress of students. And now we are in a position, and this is a political comment, and this is a matter of argument and contention, but we're in a point in time where it seems as if politicians want students to learn less, where there is a distinction made by between college educated voters and non-college educated voters, or, you know, uninformed voters, as they are sometimes called. And so one of the parties is more committed to developing this education, and another party is committed to undermining this education, and the universities have become a center point of debate for cultivating a partisan foundation rather than the general civic mindedness that a university in a democracy is supposed to develop. And so those two things combined means that the university is in flux in a way that I don't think it's been in a long time. And even if you go back to the 1960s during the civil rights era and the challenges of what constitutes an educated public, there was still a commitment to creating an educated populace. People just disagreed as to what it meant to be educated.
We talked about this off mic just a little bit, but here we come. Here comes September. In October, I believe we're going to see, at least anecdotally, that colleges and universities in North Dakota are doing okay, if not pretty good, relative to enrollment. The numbers look fairly strong, at least at this point, anecdotally is what I feel. Jack, is it still desirable to get an education for the sake of getting an education in our current climate? It seems like in this red state, we're maybe bucking a trend. Do you agree with that?
There's been tremendous demographic pressure in the last decade because the number of young people fell. And so we anticipated lower enrollments and received them for a few years. That seems to be changing, not necessarily on the overall national level. I don't know what the birth rates were 17 years ago. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but certainly enrollments have gone up. And I know, again, in my personal case, both of my classes are closed. I'm teaching a class on philosophy of education that historically gets 6 or 7 students, is now at 31. Almost all are incoming students, first-year students, and that's super exciting. Often during economic downturns, people will go to college because they can't get a job, because they want additional training, because they are stalling, or because they want to do some sort of technical field, go into engineering or go to law school or something like that. And so there are economic pressures that push people. There's also a sense that there's a kind of chaos in the world, and being a part of an institution gives people order and purpose. But there's also been a cultural shift that suggests that college is now the next step for just about everybody.
Is that changing? I feel the pressure is going a little bit away from that.
Up until and again, I don't have numbers in front of me, so this is my overall sense. Up until a couple years ago, I think that was changing for the better in terms of there was a sense that in order to get into the middle class, in order to develop upward mobility, you need a college degree, you need a master's. When my parents were kids in the 1950s, the standard degree was a high school degree. And people went out and had wonderful lives with a high school degree. And then starting in the 60s and the 70s, that changed. And then the standard degree when I was going to college was a bachelor's degree. Then in the 1990s and 2000s, that changed into a master's degree. And so that trajectory towards being more competitive and having greater and more powerful credentials was a way to move people upward. What we're seeing, however, is with millennials and with Generation Z, there is a sense that jobs pay so little. There is such competition for so few positions. And we are in such a transitional state in terms of employment, and you can't buy a house, and medical care is so expensive, that the outlay of education may not be worth it. And it's better to spend your money getting into the job market sooner for a lower paying job.
I want to talk about value of education next, but I want to reintroduce you, Jack. Dr. Jack Russell Weinstein is my guest. This segment is called Philosophical Currents. We visit with Jack monthly. Jack is the Chester Fritz Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at the University of North Dakota. So, Jack, how do we define the value of college education in today's society?
As a philosopher, I am going to start with the first and I think the most important point, which is a phrase I'll steal from the philosopher Martha Nussbaum: cultivating humanity. The first and most important job of education is to make us be more human, better human, learn and appreciate the world, discover cures, discover the beauty of a paramecia, understand why the Mona Lisa is a beautiful painting, get a sense of what love is and how to have a fulfilling relationship, engage with our relationship with the world, with nature, with pets, things like that. Cultivating our humanity is our first job, and that is unquantifiable, right? Another way of saying it is, if you are lucky, you work 8 hours a day, you sleep 8 hours a day, what are you going to do with the third 8 hours a day? How much are you going to appreciate the world around you? The second job of education, again, is the value of education is to create a better world for ourselves politically and morally. If I am a better person and my neighbor is a better person, then my life is better and their life is better and my children's lives are better. And having a moral society and an orderly society and a just society is an outgrowth of education and better for everybody. And then there's the economic investment, the sense of, am I going to get a job? Do I just want a job? Do I want a profession? Do I want a vocation? And then you start looking at quantification. So for example, on the one hand, you make a lot of money as an engineer, right? And you'll make a higher salary over time. On the other hand, most engineering programs are very, very expensive and take a very long time. And if you compare the amount of money that you put in versus the amount of money you get out over time, it isn't that much more than, say, getting a good philosophy degree, where you put in much less input, you spend less money getting it, and you get a decent job that also increases the salary over time. There's a website that I maintain called philosophyisagreatmajor.com that has all of these numbers and compares humanity degrees and philosophy degrees to other such things, right? Imagine being a specialized surgeon where you make $750,000 a year. You have to get a four-year degree. You then have to go to medical school. You then have to spend 7 years being a resident and then practicing, and that takes 15 years of your life, 20 years of your life. And so you can look at it quantifiably in terms of, what are the current job needs? What are the jobs of the future? How much do I think I'll make, and how much money do I put in? How many grants I'm going to earn? What kind of loans I have to take out? And then you have to start doing the kind of math that can be overwhelming because it's guesses, right? The current move to AI, which I will say on Prairie Public right now is a bubble and is gonna pop in a couple years.
Wow. But
the current move to AI suggests that we don't necessarily know what the jobs of the future are going to be like. And you make the best guess that you can. And that's because life is uncertain and I could get hit by a truck tomorrow.
Let's hope not. Jack, as we kind of wrap up our conversation today, are you bearish or bullish from both the institution's perspective and the student's perspective that education will remain valuable to us in the next decade or two?
Education has been the single largest growth industry in the United States of the last few years. I should say last few decades, with the possible exception of diabetes care. Education continues to grow in importance. It continues to grow in economic benefit. Anyone who lives in Mayville, anyone who lives in Dickinson, anyone who lives in Minot, Grand Forks, or you know, for our quote unquote foreign listeners, State College in Pennsylvania, Boulder, Colorado, right? Anyone who lives there knows that institutions are the foundation of an area economy, and they have to be cultivated. But we are in a point where once we figure out how to educate for current needs, education will be even more important. If AI is essential to the future, we have to understand how it works. And if AI is not essential to the future, we have to figure out how to do the things that we think AI is going to do. Our bridges are getting more complicated to build. Our cars are getting more complicated to build. Our medicine is, our diseases are getting more complicated to cure. And our relationships are getting more complicated. Technology isn't slowing down. The population isn't getting smaller. There is always more to learn, and education will always be the right bet.
A question for another discussion, Jack, might be for me to ask you: if you were to redesign higher education from scratch, what would you have it look like? And I think that would be an interesting reflection from you, but we'll save that for another day.
I would love that, because I already have thousands of answers in my head.
Wow. All right. We'll look forward to that discussion. Jack, it's always a pleasure. Dr. Jack Russell Weinstein is the Chester Fritz Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at the University of North Dakota, and he is the host of the public radio show right here on Prairie Public, Why? Philosophical Discussions About Everyday Life. And he joins us each month for this Philosophical Currents segment. All right, Jack, best wishes to you. You and I won't visit again until your school year has started. So hope things start well.
Working on my syllabus today, so I'll let you know how it goes.
Thank you, Jack.
A body like Arnold with a Denzel face. He's smart like a doctor with a real good rep.